Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, high above the press box at MTS Center. I'm your host for today, Michael Remus. Drew Mandel attended the game as a fan, so you're stuck with me here, and I'm here with Richard Pollock. The Winnipeg Jets defeated the Philadelphia Flyers 3-2 in the shootout, the third consecutive shootout win for the Winnipeg Jets and the fourth in a row, as stopping the Flyers who came in here with a three-game winning streak. I mean, wasn't necessarily the prettiest game. I thought the Jets came out very well, and they ended very well, and they ended up on top 3-2.
Yeah, Michael, you know, it's you'll take the win. Not a win to write home about by any means, but I didn't think either team really distinguished themselves from the other. It was kind of a, you know, most games in the NHL end up being 3-2, 2-1 kind of thing. It was a 3-2 game with a shootout, so you got your two goals apiece, and your shootout goal. It was kind of a coin flip game, really. I didn't think, you know, the Jets, I think, had some more chances later on in the game, and Mason was pretty solid. But Flyers could have distanced themselves early in the game, and I thought Pavlik was really solid in that first period. So, both ways, but, you know, good win for the Jets, but, you know, I can't help but think both of these teams are a little bit flawed.
Well, I mean, when you look at the Jets, they've won three in a row now in the shootout. I mean, how sustainable is it when you can only win in extra time and can't put teams away in regulation?
Yeah, can't even win in overtime, right? Like, and, you know, five regulation wins, I believe it is, and we'll talk about it more tomorrow. But yeah, no, I agree, sustainable. I mean, you know, you hear Andrew Ladd, obviously his streak that ends tonight with all the shootout goals, and Brian Little popped the winner. But yeah, you know, you're exactly right. You don't want to be relying on the shootout to continue to obtain points. And I think the craziest part is always, you know, for example, Michael, they lose the last three games, right? If they did, they'd obviously have 3 points less. Not maritime math, rocket science there. But one issue is it's amazing the way that it changes the perception from the team, right? And Claude Noel. Like, you get the shootout win, it really doesn't have any. Like, you go, who knows what's going to happen the next shootout, right? Who knows how that's going to work? But because you get those wins, you feel better as a team. So I think the biggest benefit for the Jets is how emotionally uplifting it is to get the shootout win, even though, as you mentioned, long term, I'm not sure how beneficial it is, or how it's not as good of an indicator for in terms of team success. Put it that way.
Fair enough, but you know what? A win's a win, and they definitely get the 2 points here tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
Going through the game, I thought the Jets, they came out with some great jump. I mean, it took them a while. They had a few power plays off the bat, and Byfuglien, you know, on a great pass from Setoguchi, who enters his zone, stops, and then finds a streaking Byfuglien, who puts in his first of two goals on the night.
Yeah, and this was, you know, a power play goal. Needs to be noted, power play goal. Obviously, power play has been awful this year, so huge to get off the schneid there. This whole play is kind of caused by, as you mentioned, the Devin Setoguchi pass, but more so by the bad change by the Philadelphia Flyers. Flyers are changing at the blue line, and they're changing personnel, and Byfuglien reads it. Great read by him. Cuts in down the right side. Doesn't ever really need motivation to pinch, but gets deep. Setoguchi makes a nice pass. The Flyers are discombobulated. Byfuglien gets the puck. Another thing to note, Byfuglien puts the puck top corner on the right side, which for most goalies is glove side, but for Steve Mason is blocker side. So you can take advantage of that, and 1-0,
and that was at 5:36 into the first. You know, less than a minute later, Scott Hartnell goes for a wraparound on Andre Pavlik, and I believe it goes, you know, off Pavlik, and it was questionable whether or not it went in, but upon the review, it was clear that it did cross the line.
Yeah, to us from our view, it looked like it went in immediately, and it did, but it was, you know, kind of tougher to see, I thought, in the replay than it was live because of the angle that we have here, just because we could see the open side. But, you know, Pavlik overcommits to the right side of the net, and Hartnell pulls it around the other side, so Pavlik could have played it better. But at the same time, you know, Grant Clitson, a shorter defenseman. If it's a taller defenseman, the guy just seals the corner with his stick, and Clitson doesn't get there in time. And Hartnell, bigger player, you know, 6'4", 6'5", guy with a long reach, shorter net this year, is able to take advantage and 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, now at that point of the game, I mean, two quick goals. You had the feeling that it could have been, you know, that 9-8 game again. I mean, I had the feeling, but wasn't quite.
Well, you know, the thing about that is, both of those teams, you know, played a different style than these teams are right now. Like, the Flyers are playing a defensive style. The Jets, you know, they're they're getting their shots and stuff, but they're playing a little bit more of a cautious game, and there are less turnovers. And I think both ways, Michael, you play a more cautious game, you have less turnovers, there's less chance for high scoring.
Fair enough. And then the penalty bug started hitting the Jets. They get on the power play. The Flyers win the draw. There's a rebound, and Wayne Simmons is pretty much left all alone in front of the net and gets a few whacks at it and puts one past Pavlik.
It's talented power play, right? You have Simmons out there, you have Hartnell out there, you have Giroux, you have Tiemannin, you have Voracek, right? That's a lot of talent right there. I believe that's exactly the formation out of the notes here that was on for that goal. But it's a simple play, as you mentioned. Simmons goes to the front of the net, that's where he's stationed, gets in the puck, banks it in, and pays the price. And, you know, it sounds oh simple, all that stuff, but watch how many power plays in the league don't have guys in front, don't have guys getting the rebounds. Yeah, the Oilers the other night. Five guys in the perimeter, 5-on-3. So it's a big thing. You have a guy who's willing to pay the price and knows what to do with it. So a simple goal from the Flyers, but certainly something that Craig Berube is happy with.
Yeah, and that was Party and Enstrom who both took penalties about one after the other in the first period. And then at the end of the first period, Sean Couturier gets a tripping, and the Jets had a little bit going on the power play at the end of the first, but went into the second still on the power play.
Yeah, and the Flyers left up 2-1. Happy, obviously happy you come on the road, you have a 2-1 lead, and happy to get out of there with the lead. The Jets started off well, as you mentioned, but I didn't think they played that well the rest of the period.
Right, they played pretty well for both the first 6 minutes or so. Yeah. And then kind of sat back. I mean, I would think their power play thought it looked a bit better than it has in the past. It's slowly improving.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You're also just some of these pucks are going in. The power play goal that Buffalo scores here, the first one at least, isn't necessarily your power play set up and
right.
Get the play. It's not really that at all. The second goal we'll talk about in a bit is a little bit more like that, but. Some of these pucks are just going in too now, right? Like, that's kind of what happens. Some of these pucks have to go in. The odds have to move their way a little bit. So I thought the power play looked a little bit better. But as kind of Claude Noel said about 2 weeks ago, the personnel has been the same all along. So I don't expect some drastic move to 15th overall in the league.
Right.
I mean, where were they last year? They were 30th.
30th, right.
So, I mean, a shot to 25th would be progress right now.
Yep, and then you go into the second period. I mean,
the second period happened?
Not really an eventful period. No scoring. There was one penalty. It just seemed like the teams were muddling around in the neutral zone, couldn't really get anything going. The Jets had one chance. There was a pass to Blake Wheeler. Couldn't quite tip it in. He bounced off a stick. Well, didn't look like he really put any force into redirecting that one into that. You know the play I'm referring to?
Period was so boring. I don't remember what happened.
Fair enough.
Well, I fell asleep in my computer.
Play picked up a bit in the third period.
It did.
With the Jets down 2-1. You got to give credit to this team. They've been down a few times. They're down against San Jose, against St. Louis, down by two goals. Tonight down 2-1, and they really really had some fight in them. And it wasn't until late.
Well, let's talk about what happens here. You're the Philadelphia Flyers. The Jets have their chances. And Mason's was pretty solid. I mean, a couple really nice saves. He had hit some posts. A spin around play that Mason made a nice save on. So, Mason was looking sharp side to side, was looking good. Steve Downey takes a stupid hooking penalty, if you're a Flyer, Flyers fan, stupid hooking penalty on Tobias Enstrom. And I was looking over one of the Flyers guys who's in town, our buddy. Anthony Sanfilippo said, this style of play that they have now works quite well if you don't take stupid penalties.
Right.
Literally 5 minutes before that penalty.
Well, and it also seemed that right before that there was maybe a trip on Enstrom, or there could have been...
There was a trip on Enstrom that should have been called.
Another hook?
He pushed his skates out from under him, and there was like two other hooks.
There were two other
hooks. Blake Wheeler thought he got hooked on the drive to the net. So, yeah, I agree with you that there was definitely an opportunity to have calls. And I thought that the hook... might have been not even as bad as a trip as you mentioned,
right.
But you had to make sure they called it.
There's definitely a little makeup call there.
And if you're the Flyers, though, why are you doing that stuff? You're up 2-1. Make them beat you. Make them beat Mason, and you're letting them in the game. And the Jets, power play struggling or not, they scored power play goal today, so they're feeling good about it.
Yeah, I mean, they win the draw. The puck rings around the boards. Toby Enstrom makes a great play to keep it in on the right side. Bufflin, keeps it on the left side, gets it to Jokinen and back to Bufflin. And how he got this shot off in traffic, I mean, just speaks to the talent. But you thought, I thought, oh yeah, this is for sure getting blocked right as he lets it go.
Yeah.
And it somehow gets it off and beats he's got a rocket, so if he's getting it on goal, he's got a pretty good chance, and it beats Steve Mason.
Mason's
got
to have that one.
Yeah, well, there wasn't much of a screen.
No, well,
there.
A little bit of a screen, but if you watch replay, Mason goes to grab it with his right hand, because it's his catching hand, and just missed the puck. But all credit to Buffalo there, really, because as you mentioned, Michael, getting that shot through is so underrated in the league, and it's so valuable, and he played a great game. So two power play goals, and there's going to be confidence from that for the Jets, and there should be, because you wanna, when you're struggling this much, you want to build on anything you can get. So two power play goals, you're going to go, and you're not probably not going to even focus on it too much. You're just going to build on the fact that you got your two power play goals and go over to Minnesota and see if you can build on that.
Right, and I thought that after that goal, after the tie game, the Jets really, really took the play, completely changed the atmosphere in the building.
Yeah.
It was completely dead in the second period. The fans got up, they got excited. I mean, they had a number of chances at the end of the third. They had a number of chances in overtime as well, but couldn't manage to beat Steve Mason.
Yeah, who was really good all night, and goaltending was certainly not an issue for either squad tonight.
Yeah,
Mason was challenged a little more than Pavlik.
And it's funny that we note Steve Mason's great play when Ilya Bryzgalov, lets in five goals tonight in the AHL. But we'll talk more about that tomorrow on the Legal Curve Hockey Show. So the overtime solves nothing. Go into the shootout. Setoguchi scored again. Scored on Tuesday, and the shooter was rewarded with another chance. He scores.
The shooter shoots. Good.
Yeah, shooter shoots. So then Flyers, Pavlik makes a save. Ladd goes again, tries to make it, 6 for 6 in the year. Does the same move he's been doing all year. Basically, didn't quite get it on net. Giroux comes, just squeaks one by.
It goes 5-4, and then you thought Pavlik had it, and they actually put the goal buzzer on, like he was saved, and it just trickled in. And after two rounds, you're tied at one.
After two, so it went until the fifth round. I mean, the third shooter for the Jets was. Jokinen, and then it was.
He took a wrist shot, didn't go in. Yeah, Blake Wheeler
went for the little tuck deke in between the pads.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Didn't work.
Mason shot the 5-hole there.
And then Little comes in on the left side, and because Mason catches with his right hand, he goes low blocker, which is has been consistently over the years a very good spot to shoot in the shootout. And puts a pass, and then Kimmo Timonen couldn't tie it up against Pavlik, who looked very good in the shootout tonight. He stopped LeCavalier on a great chance.
For a guy who hates, that was a great save by Pavlik on LeCavalier. But for a guy who hates a shootout, it's been playing pretty well on them.
Yeah.
Still says he hates it.
Still said he hated it after the radio a couple games ago too. So he's consistent. You like that?
That's well, yeah.
And you'll Kevin Cheveldayoff is going to be at the campaigning the GM meetings to have shootouts just at the beginning of games, not even play.
Well, that's four wins in the row for the Jets, three in a row in the shootout. They win 3-2 against Philly. They got Minnesota on Sunday, and then a back-to-back comeback here and play Calgary on Monday. So definitely,
schedule's not hard. I mean, Minnesota's tough, Chicago's tough, but the rest of those teams aren't that tough.
So, and that's it. And that's it for so the Jets win 3-2, and that's it for Michael Remus with Richard Pollock high above top in the press box at MTS Center. Tomorrow is the Legal Curve Hockey Show.
Good guest
from
tomorrow.
12 to 3. Jay Feaster, GM of the Flames, and Hockey Hall of Fame writer Al Strachan will be on as well.
And Mike Greenlay, color commentator for Fox Sports North, the Wild broadcaster.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that, and stay tuned to LegalCurve.com for all your Winnipeg Jets post-game audio. And that's it for the Legal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. Good night and good luck.